Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Okay, welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. I've got an extra special show for you tonight. I was really fortunate over the past couple of weeks to be able to interview two DJs who will be coming to Vancouver in early December. The first is Toronto-born and bred DJ and producer Carlo Leo. Second is German-born and LA-based DJ and producer Tensnake. They both offer very different musical styles, with Carlo Leo being in the techno school of things and Tensnake heading into a more happy disco-y electronic direction. Both of them offered really solid interviews for me. I've put together a track retrospective for each of them. I'll feature the Carlo Leo interview first and the Tensnake interview after that, around the bottom half of the hour. We'll bypass tracks of the week for this episode and hop straight into the interviews. Full track list for both of these on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy this. This is DJ Waugh speaking to Carlo Leo, a DJ and producer who has been producing and remixing and also releasing DJ mixes since 2006. He's been released on prominent labels like Scientech, Bedrock, Mood, Suara, and Intech, just to name a few. Along with Kareem Kali, he's also the co-head of On Edge Society, a label which they started together earlier this year. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Carlo Leo. So right into the questions, how would you define your sound?
I guess the best way to define my sound is more of a rolling, hypnotic, groovy, bass-heavy type train sound.
Is there anything about life and growing up in Toronto that inspired you to head in this musical direction?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely involved in the music scene here at a pretty young age. So, I mean, the rave scene in Toronto was really, really amazing. So that's kind of where this all stemmed from. Just as a partier, which turned into a hobby and now a career.
Okay, and when would you say you got going in the whole rave scene there?
It would have been towards 97, 98, and it lasted in Toronto till about 2001, 2002, till the city shut it down. And the whole scene kind of moved back into the clubs.
Did you have any early musical training that paid dividends as you found yourself interested in producing electronic music?
Absolutely nothing. I come from zero musical background. I can't even think of a family member that was involved in music. So I guess it's starting for me, I guess.
Okay. And would you say you're incredibly proficient in stuff with keyboards and all that type of stuff now?
Yeah, I mean, I make it work. I can't play you a symphony or anything like that, but I can definitely get around. I can definitely get the sound of what's in my head onto a computer screen, that's for sure.
Thank you. What is the club scene like in Toronto then?
The club scene in Toronto is super, super healthy since I can remember first starting to party in the scene. It's been very, very strong. The people are always up for it. There's never been a down point. It's one of the most consistent scenes I've pretty much seen in all over the world. A lot of people don't realize it, but we have an amazing, amazing scene here.
Currently, what is the performance setup you use when you're DJing and why?
Currently, I'm moved into Traktor. I use Traktor with X1s and I use 4DECs. You know, I went through all the stages from vinyl to CDs and then moving on to Traktor. The reason why I use Traktor is because I was kind of bored of just using CDs and or vinyl. Traktor allowed me to kind of find a new love for DJing again with using 4DECs and getting to be more spontaneous and playing a lot more around with my sets. So yeah, I really love using Traktor right now.
So when you're performing, how much of what you do on stage is actually planned in advance and how much of it is just stuff you kind of come up with on the fly?
I would say 99% is on the fly, and that 1% is basically, you know, new tracks that I've downloaded for the week that I know I want to play out. I plan no sets. It's all about reading the crowd and the floor, and I go from there.
And when you're playing tracks, do you sort of butcher them and edit them and just kind of make them your own when you're performing, or do you just play it from back to back kind of thing?
Well, both, because I actually do a lot of my own personal edits at home that I play out, and I do a lot of on the fly edits as well. That's kind of the beauty of playing 4 tracks, 4 decks, is that you can kind of do on the fly remixes.
When you're producing, which DAW do you produce with?
Ableton Live.
Okay, and then within Ableton, do you have certain VSTs that you absolutely love to play with?
Yeah, I mean, the past couple years, I've really been into Reactor. That's kind of been my go-to for everything right now.
Okay. Is there any outboard gear that you use, or are you mostly a VST guy?
I'm mostly VST. Being on the road so much, I do most of my producing on a laptop and on the road, so it's kind of hard to get into the gear. But this year, now that I just moved into a new house, I'm building a new studio, so I plan to experience more with outboard gear.
Okay. What do you feel more passionate about, DJing or producing, and then why?
They're both equal. There's no better feeling than playing to a ton of people and then going off to your music or one of your own tracks. But then again, there's no better feeling when you're in the studio by yourself and you just feel like you've made a bomb. It has that equal intense feeling for me.
And then of the two, is there one that you find more difficult to do?
No, I mean, they both have their challenges. I mean, everyone can have a bad DJ gig, which could suck. And there's times in the studio where you couldn't make anything for the life of you. So.
How would you describe the musical policy of your On Edge Society label?
Well, On Edge Society is basically a stripped down, raw, analog-y techno sounding label. We started off the label as vinyl only. We wanted to kind of go back to the roots, as you know, the digital world is a little bit cluttered, at least with vinyl. You know, the people that are buying your record actually really want your record and not just buying it because it's in a chart or it's charted by someone else per se. So yeah, we kind of wanted to go that route. And do something more special.
You run that label along with Kareem Cali. How did you end up meeting him and connecting with him?
Kareem and I have been talking, you know, we were just like online friends for the longest time. This is probably dating back 2007, 2008. And then when I was running Rawthentic, he kind of helped me out with the label too when I started really going on the road. So he managed the label for a little bit. Yeah, we just became really close. It kind of made sense for us to just start a project together.
Do you have one or two tracks that you have produced over the years that you are just incredibly proud of?
I would say My Fang is definitely one that I still really love and play till this day. And probably Stuck in a Dream is another one. I still find myself going back to that all the time.
Currently, you are in the middle of a tour that has you doing 20 dates over 2 months up until the 30th of December. What are the challenges that a schedule like this presents to you?
Well, I mean, the traveling itself can get extremely exhausting and, you know, take a toll on your body mentally and physically. It also comes with a lot of sacrifice. You know, you have to stay away from home, miss your family or your girl, your friends, or even, you know, functions that you've wanted to attend. I can't tell you how many weddings and family functions that I wish I could have been to. As much as the sacrifice comes with it, I still wouldn't trade it for the world.
Just out of curiosity, when you do some gigs, are you just completely exhausted and you just have to truck through it sometimes?
There definitely has been times where I feel like I'm gonna completely pass out. But once you get on the decks and right after that first track and the crowd is going crazy, it's a whole new level of energy going right through your body again. So I've never looked bored in my life, even if I was super exhausted.
Okay, what do you rate as your top club or festival event of the last 5 or 6 months?
I would say the one that takes the cake for me was the Dockyard Festival, which was during ADE just last month. Completely amazing. It was a gig that I was blown away from. The room was just, you know, people were hanging off the ceilings and sweat was coming off the walls, and there was like 5,000 people great sound system. Every piece was just in place for that party.
Besides that, are there any countries or specific clubs globally that you absolutely love to play at, and why?
I've been doing Space Ibiza for Carl for 5 years now, and it's just one of the most amazing clubs in the world. From, again, the production, the sound, and the people there are just absolutely bonkers. So Space is definitely up there. Stereo in Montreal is also one of my favorite clubs. It's one of those places that you'll play for less money and play for a lot more time. The last set I did there was an open to close, which lasted about 10 hours. So there's very few places that you can do that, and that's definitely one of them.
Can you name two or three DJs or producers anywhere that you know that you absolutely admire?
Since I first started DJing, the top of my list is definitely Mr. G. I've been a fan of his forever. I feel like he's molded my sound and how I DJ today. So he's definitely up there. Another one is Trunkate. From the last 2 years, the style of techno he's been making is just—it just resonates perfectly with my sound and what I love about that music.
What is your vision for the future of yourself production-wise and in DJing?
I guess for production, I mean, you know, there's obviously a big list of labels that I want to see my name on. So it's good to have goals, which I do, and I hope to get on these labels eventually at some point. As for DJing, yeah, I mean, as a DJ, you just want to grow and hope to be as big as you can and successful as you can. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just happy to consistently be working. And I guess that's my long-term goal, is just to stay relevant in this scene and hopefully retire from a passion that I love.
Okay. Could you say, just looking at your ability now to when you got started, can you tell you're miles better than you were at the beginning?
Of course. I mean, every couple of years or so, I'll always go onto Beatport and just listen to tracks I did 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and I'll just kind of make you cringe. But at the same time, it'll kind of see how far you have come. So definitely miles ahead.
So what do you notice is the difference between what you're making now and the stuff you're making then?
At one point, what I was making then sounded absolutely amazing to me, and now it sounds very childish and amateurish. So I guess it's just a lot more maturity in the music, from, you know, the sound quality to the construction of the actual tracks.
So Carlo Leo has recently released a remix of Perupa's track, which is titled Sunday Morning. This is out on the Nonstop label. His productions are top-notch, and his live sets are a must-see. A selection of his tracks can be found on Beatport, iTunes, and Juno Download. Carlo Leo will be performing on Saturday the 3rd of December at MIA. Tickets can be found online. A full list of Carlo Leo web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. So thank you very much for doing this.
Bursaries, scholarships, buildings, research projects, sporting events, you name it, it's likely been supported by donors. Giving is a powerful thing, and coming up is the day to celebrate it. Giving Tuesday is on November 29. Give thanks and share your own giving stories using hashtag UBCGiving. Find out more at ubc.ca/GivingTuesday.
Mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars.
Hey folks, the Pride Collective at UBC is an AMS resource group for LGBTQ+ folks. All our events and resources are free, so you should check us out on Facebook or come to Nest 2103 and say hi. We have so many fun events every week.
Okay, an excellent interview there with Carlo Leo. Check out the list of web links and the track list for that on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. If you enjoyed his musical stylings, check him out at MIA on December the 3rd. On to the next interview now, this time around to Ten Snake. Again, a really good interview, full track list on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Enjoy this, and I'll talk to you in a bit.
Okay, this is DJ Wah speaking to Ten Snake, a DJ and producer from Germany. He's been producing and remixing and also releasing DJ mixes since 2005. He's been released on a multitude of prominent labels, including Kitsune, Defected, Azuli, Tool Room, and Bar Grooves, just to name a few. He's featured on Pete Tong's Essential Mix back in 2013, and he's run his own label, Mirau Music, since 2005. It's my pleasure to be speaking to him. This is Ten Snake. So to begin with, how would you define your sound?
basically electronic music. Sometimes it's more into the direction of house music. Sometimes I flirt a little bit more with, you know, with the poppy melodies. I can't really put it in one drawer, you know. It's like, I think it's just positive music, you know, like positive electronic dance music, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I find it difficult to define my sound, to describe it myself. So
did you have any musical training as a child that helped you out as you started to get interested in this as an adult?
Not really. No, I learned the piano for 2 years, but I had a terrible teacher. He was like, whenever I did something wrong, he smashed my fingers, or how he clapped on my fingers, and I didn't want to go there really. So I didn't last long. But I guess I'm quite lucky in a way. I find it quite easy to play by ear in a way.
Okay.
But I can't read notes or anything. So yeah.
Currently, when you're DJing, what is the performance setup that you use and why?
It's very simple. When I started playing out as Ten Snake, I did mainly live sets. So it was more laptop-based and MIDI controllers and stuff. So I got bored of that and made the transition into pure DJ sets. And I'm using just a very simple CDJ setup at the moment, CDJ. So when I travel around, I don't carry any vinyl. I just bring my USB sticks. I find that just very easy, comfortable. I don't like to work with Traktor or anything. I don't like to have a screen in front of me. Yeah, it feels very free. And now these days, with a huge USB sticks, you can do everything.
Okay. Do you ever have any technical issues with USB sticks, or does everything usually go well for you?
No, but sometimes I forget them in the club. That's the only problem. But so far, I have to say, it's pretty great. Sometimes I have some issues with the record box software that I'm using, but I think that's just really me and not the software's fault.
when you are producing, which DAW do you produce with?
Mainly, I would say 90% I use live, Ableton Live.
When you were initially started DJing and you were doing your sets as a live set, were you using Ableton at the time as well?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I just know it really well. And for many years, I was working on a PC and I used to work on Logic, but then it got the company got bought by Apple. So they seized the PC versions and I switched to Ableton Live back then. And I think it's so diverse and it's so quick and fast. There's also some stuff I like about Logic, of course, but I really like working in Live.
So within Live, are there specific VSTs that you really like to work with?
It's kind of changing. I really like all the Arturia stuff. I mean, from the early days of Tensnake, I was always using them, and people always ask me about what kind of analog gear I use. And I always thought they, with a little bit of tweaking and, you know, a little bit of processing, they always sound really good. But these days, there's so much great stuff. I like Diva, the Diva plugin a lot, which is a very diverse analog emulation. Yeah, I'm when it comes to sound processing and effects, I'm a big fan of the Sound Toys stuff as well.
Okay. Do you ever use any outboard gear when you're producing, or do you mostly do VST stuff?
No, it's a mixture, really. Like, it depends on the track, on my mood, and sometimes I want to use something, but it's not hooked up and I'm just lazy and I end up just using digital stuff. But I would say the drums are mainly from samples.
Okay.
And the rest is a mixture of VSTs and analog outboard gear, really.
When you are producing, do you ever have times when it's really difficult to find musical inspiration, or is it usually fairly straightforward for you?
No, there are days where I'm just doing, you know, nothing, and you go home kind of frustrated. But I try to listen to a lot of music. I think that's very important when you're a producer, to not get stuck in your own world and also get inspired, you know. So it's no secret. I think everybody does it, you know, like get inspired by other DJ sets or productions. And yeah, I try to really force myself. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, include it in the daily routine, but I try to listen to constantly to new DJ sets.
In 2014, you released your own full-length album entitled Glow. What opportunity did a full-length album offer to you that creating pure club tracks doesn't?
I think the format of an whole album and being on a... I was signed to Virgin Records, so it was like I was on a major label, which opened a whole new world for me in terms of reaching more people, having more attention in the media. Yeah, I think it was just a great opportunity for me to build a bigger fan base, you know? And also, it was my adventure or my journey into the pop world a little bit.
Okay.
And at the moment, I'm doing the opposite. Like, I'm only releasing on my own label and concentrating more on the club sounds, and it's more single focused everything, so more track focused. But yeah, it was a great experience for me, for sure.
And because it was on a major label, did you feel there was any more pressure than you would when you're creating your own tracks for your own label?
The team that I worked with was really great, but of course there's more pressure because there's more money involved. There's more, you know, you have videos that are more expensive. Everything is on a different level. And I can definitely say for myself that I didn't feel as free as I felt before or now, you know, so... But I think it's always when you signed up into something else that's not 100% yours, that you control 100%, then it never feels as free. So I'm very happy where I'm at the moment.
Currently, you are in the middle of a tour that has you doing 16 dates over the course of 2 months until you land here in Vancouver on the 10th of December. What challenges does a schedule like this present to you?
actually pretty chilled, I have to say.
Okay.
So during the week, I'm based in Los Angeles. The weather is nice. I just see how friends in Berlin are freezing. So it could be worse, I have to say. Yeah, it's like mostly two gigs over the weekend, sometimes three. And my biggest challenge here in the US are the long flights and especially the delays, I have to say.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but I had some bad luck with the flights lately. So hopefully it's all smooth from now on.
Can you name two or three producers or DJs whom you really admire and why?
I would say from the more known ones at the moment, I really like Jack Master. I think he's a great guy, obviously. But I think he's also super diverse, you know, like he can play every style and everything sounds good that he does in a way. It's all fun, it's very forward, and he just knows music, you know.
Okay.
And producer-wise, oh my God, there's so many. I think there's a very high production level because, yeah, the tools got quite cheap and very, very good. So let me think. I don't know. I would go with the DJs. I think at the moment it's Jack Master and Gerd Jansson.
What is your vision for yourself in the future, DJing and production-wise? What are things that you want to do?
For the future, I think if I could manage, I would like to sneak in more studio time in my schedule and, just keep the level of, I don't know, the level, the balance well for myself, you know, that I still enjoy what I'm doing. I think that's the most important, to deliver quality, you know, and also to have fun on the dance floor and people pay to see you. So I should be fresh and be in a really good mood. And I think I would also really like to look into producing other people, bands or whatever as well. So my plan for the next year is really to move to Los Angeles, probably from Berlin, and settle here a little bit and see what's possible.
What do you notice is the biggest difference between the scene for electronic music in North America versus Europe?
I think it used to be a huge gap, obviously, because there was the big EDM bubble a couple of years ago here, and before that there was mainly hip-hop, rock music, and pop. Of course, there were always smaller scenes, you know, drum and bass and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think it totally changed in the US in the last 5 years. Like, the club scene in every city gets better and better. I think people also remember that a lot of amazing and very influential club and electronic music came out of the US, you know, and influenced Europe. I think the gap between Europe and America is getting very much smaller at the moment. And I think the biggest difference is probably the endless parties in Europe, you know.
Tensnake has recently released the Freundchen EP out on True Romance Records. His productions are amazing, and his live set will definitely be worth checking out. A selection of his tracks can be found on Beatport, iTunes, and Juno Download. Tensnake will be performing in Vancouver on Saturday the 10th of December, and tickets can still be available or found online. A full list of Tensnake web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Thank you for doing this.
Sure, you've heard of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but what about Giving Tuesday? November 29th is an international day of giving to celebrate the importance of philanthropy. Join in by sharing your giving stories on social media using hashtag UBCGiving. Find out more at ubc.ca/GivingTuesday.
I call it transcendence.
Psytrance, hard trance, epic trance, acid trance, deep trance, hard dance, breakbeat. Every Sunday at 10 p.m. to midnight. Hosted by DJ Smiley Mike and DJ Caddyshack.
Transcendence. Okay, thanks again to Ten Snake there for providing such a good interview. Check him out on December the 10th at Celebrities. Along with that, check out a list of web links on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. If you enjoyed tonight's show, check it out again in podcast form either on iTunes or at CITR.ca under the Techno Progressivo link. Huge thank you to both Carlo Leo and Ten Snake for interviewing for tonight's show. Join me back here in 2 weeks for my year-end episode featuring my track of the year, along with a mix of my favorite tracks of 2016. So up next is going to be Transcendence with Smiley Mike. Enjoy that, and see you back here in a couple of weeks.